Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Kubabab Metzia, Daf Yud Gimel. We're beginning 11-12 lines from the top with the words Abayi Omar. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Tzahal. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim Binheira in good health, and Hashem should be Shomer on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, in yesterday's share, we learned the Shita of Rav Asi. Rav Asi had brought down that the only time that a person can write a shtar, for example, in the month of Nisan, and only have the loan take effect in the month of Tishrei, is if it's a shtar hakna. That's shemakna lo nechosov mehayom ben yove ben lo yove. So this means that the debt takes effect on Nisan, even though the loan didn't occur till Tishrei, when the Edim sign on this in Nisan. So that's when the shibud, that's when the requirement for, if Reuven lends Shimon $100, that's when Shimon has to go pay back that money from Nisan, and therefore all of his property is lien from that point in time. But that's only if it's done with the shtar hakna. If it's not done as a shtar hakna, so then you can't go and write something from the month of Nisan and have the loan take effect only in Tishrei, because then you would be inappropriately taking from the lekuchos that had purchased something from Shimon in between Nisan and Tishrei. You wouldn't be entitled to go take those lekuchos if it's not a shtar hakna. So Rav Asi had said that the only time you could write such a shtar is if it's a shtar hakna. Abayi now today tells us otherwise. Abayi Amar, Edov b'chatsumov zochilo. The Edim, in general, whenever they sign, so that is when the lien takes effect, whether it's a shtar hakna or whether it's not a shtar hakna. And therefore, b'afilu shtare d'lav hakna, even a shtar that isn't taking into account the fact that the person is going to owe that money to Reuven, whether he gets the loan or not. But even if it's only going to take effect that he owes the money when the loan takes effect, when the loan actually is given, nevertheless, you can write such a shtar, even though it's not a shtar hakna that takes effect no matter what, even if the loan's not given. Now, why is that? Because this includes afilu shtari de lav hakna mishum de kashle, because he didn't agree with what Rav Asi had said yesterday, that kivan the amis bishtari de lav hakna kilesi lemalva bade lo kazvinon lekel mechash de ikre bekosov. Because in yesterday's shir, Rav Asi had said the reason why he made a distinction between the two is because we're concerned that if we allow one, then maybe the other will be written, even though you're not allowed to go and write the other type. And Rav Asi was concerned about that. And Abayi says, no, I'm not at all concerned about that. If you're not allowed to do it, you're not allowed to do it. And therefore, we only allow people to write a shtar hakna. However, the non-shtar hakna, the lav shtar hakna type of shtar, also will take effect when the Edim go and sign on it, and the din, therefore, is I'm not concerned that people will write such a thing, because even if they do, it will take effect at that point in time, and we're not going to be taking anything from the lukos improperly. So Abayi is basically saying that no matter what, the Edim, when they sign on it, that's when the shibut is created, whether it's a hakna type of a shtar, or even if it's not a hakna type of a shtar. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Elohad did not, we're going to learn in a couple of days on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, it says over there in the Mishnah, Motzo Gite Noshim. If a person were to find a get that Nebuch allowed a woman to be divorced, he finds such a get that would divorce a woman, or he finds Vishichrure Avodim, he finds a document, a shtar, that frees a certain Eved Kenani, or he finds a daitiki. What is a daitiki? So Rashi reminds us, a daitiki is tzavos shchiv mirah. We know that when a person, Rachmon Slan, is on his deathbed, anything could disturb him if he can't take care of what his financial needs are. It could chas l'sholom emotionally, psychologically, put him back, and it could cause his death. So therefore, the rabbis were masakeh that divrei shchiv mirah kiksuvim ukimisurin domi. So when a person on his deathbed says, give this money to so-and-so, even though a kinyan wasn't made, we write that up as a shtar called a daitiki, which basically means da tekurashi says. So from here, you will go and take this. This shtar can be written up, and that's called a daitiki. So if you find such a document, well, you find the matana, a regular gift document that says, you know, Reuven's giving $100 to Shimon as a gift, or Vishovim, or you find the receipt that says that so-and-so paid back so-and-so. So in all of these situations, when you find such a document here, you cannot give it back. Hare zeh lo yachzir. You can't go and give it back to the person who's named in the shtar, the woman who's getting divorced, the Eved Kenani. Kanani who was being freed, the person who provided the receipt, or the one who's getting the gift, either as the daitiki, as a tzavah, shchiv meira, or as a regular matana. You can't go and give it to them. Why? Because we have to be concerned. Shemo kisuvim hayu, they had been written up, yes. However, the person who was giving it then changed his mind. The nimlach, the person who was giving the gift, said, no, I don't want to give the gift. I changed my mind. The nimlach aleim, he changed his mind about this item, the divorce, the freeing of the slave, or the gifts, whatever it was. Shalom litnam, and he said, I don't want to give it. So therefore, you have to be concerned that maybe this fell from the person who was giving it rather than from the person who received it. So how can you tell us that it automatically takes effect as soon as the Edom sign on it? So, v'chi nimlach aleim ayavi. How should that make any difference if he changed his mind? Once the Edom sign on it, you, Abaya, are saying, v'ho amis edov b'chasumov zochelo. The person acquires the document as soon as the Edom sign on it. Whether it's a shtar haknah, whether it's not a shtar haknah. So this seems to go against you, Abaya. So Gemara says, no. When did Abaye say that when the Edom sign on it, even if it's not a shtar haknah, it takes effect with the Edom signature? That's only once the shtar is given. Hani mili hecho deka matu liyadei. When it gets into the hands of the recipient, so then at that point in time, it is effective from the time that the shtar was signed. Aval hecho delo matu liyadei. But if it never reaches the hand and it's not a shtar haknah, that the shibu takes effect even if the loan doesn't take effect. But here, this giving over the document, it only takes effect when it's actually given over. It's not a shtar haknah. However, once it is given over, then it takes effect from the time that the Edom signed on it. So here, Abaye would say, in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches, Aval Hecha Delo Matul Yodeh, it never reached the person's hands. That's what we have to be concerned about. Lo Marina, we don't say that it automatically took effect when the Edom signed on it. And therefore, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches is not a problem to Abaye Shita. Now the Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? Ela Masni Sin, Diktani. Our Mishnah which said, Motzo Shtari Chov, if you find a Shtar Chov, so it depends. Im Yesh Bem Achrayis Nechosim Lo Yachzir. Our Mishnah said, if there's Achrayis Nechosim, then you don't give it back. The Ukimna, and we had explained that that's talking about Kishachayev Moda. One of the ways we explained our Mishnah was we're dealing here with a situation where the person admitted, yeah, that's a valid document. I did owe Ruvain money. Shimon says, yeah, that's a valid document. I did owe Ruvain $100. However, he now says he doesn't owe the money. He paid it back, or whatever the situation was. That's why we don't give it back. The Mishnah had said, Lo yachzir, because we're concerned that we're going to take advantage of the lekuchos, because maybe the document is dated for Nisan, but the loan didn't actually take place till Tishrei. Now, this certainly seems to go in accord with Ravasi. Bishlam Ravasi, we understand that the Omar Bishtari Akniyasa, that the only time that you're allowed to write up such a document that is written up in Nisan, whereas the loan only takes effect in Tishrei, if it's a shtar haknah, which means that you're obligating yourself, no matter what, whether you get the loan or not, to go and pay back that money. So, Muki lo bishtari de la akniyasa. So here we're dealing with something that's not a shtar akniyasa, and that's why you're not allowed to write it up, and we have to be concerned that it was written up inappropriately, as Ravasi had expressed his concern, and therefore, uki damrinan, as we had said, that's why the shtar can't be returned, because maybe it's not a shtar akniyasa, and therefore it shouldn't have been written up, and you're inappropriately taking from the lekuchos who had purchased property from Shimon in between Nisan and Tishrei, and therefore, that's why you can't give it back. But according to Abaye, when the shibu takes effect, whether it's a shtar akniyasa or whether it's not a shtar akniyasa, so then why not give it back? Eluli Abaye, the Omar, Edov b'chasum of zochen lo, even if it's not a shtar akniyasa, so then, Michael Memer, why does our Mishnah say don't give it back? So Amal Chabaya, I would explain and say, no, Masnisin, the reason in our Mishnah that you don't give it back is Hainu Taima. The reasoning is the Chayish LePeiron uLeKinunya, because we're concerned in our Mishnah that, you know what? Shimon says to Reuven, I got a great way for us to make some money. I paid you back the document, so you're good. You and I are good. But I'm going to give you back the document instead of ripping it up, and you'll collect the second time. But right now, I got no cash. So you know what? They're going to go to my properties, but I got no properties extant right now. You know what? They're going to go to the properties that I sold in between Nisan and Tishrei, and we'll finagle it back from that guy, and we'll cheat that guy that purchased the properties for me, and then we'll split the money between us. So you'll get your $100 from those properties, and you give me 50, and you get 50, and everybody's happy. So this is what's called the kinunya, plot. So therefore, Abaye says the reason in our Mishnah why we don't give it back is because we're concerned over here about this plot. The Chayis Lepiron, we're concerned that in fact Shimon had paid back Reuven and now he gives it back to Shtar so he can collect again from leaned property. That's the Kenunya that Abaye is concerned about. Okay, Gemara now says, Ule Shmuel, the Amra lo Chay Shimon Lepiron or Kenunya. As we'll see in a moment, Shmuel says we aren't concerned about these types of plots, that in fact Shimon paid back Reuven and now he's giving him back the shtar so he can collect the second time from lien property. Shmuel says we're not concerned about that. So then according to Shmuel, Ma'ikel Emeimar, how would Abaye learn a Mishnah if he held like Shmuel? Because that would work out great again if Shmuel only was in accord with Rav Asi, the Omer Bishtari Hakna, it only works by Shtar Hakna. So then Moki Masnis and Bishtari Delav Hakna, then Shmuel would say our Mishnah is talking about where it's not a Shtar Hakna, and therefore it wasn't allowed to be written up, and we have to be concerned. That's not concerned about the Piron, the Kenunya, we just have to be concerned that it was already paid back, because he's not being molded to it, and it's not a shtarach no, it shouldn't have been written up. Elo isavar ki abayit, but if he holds like abayit, the omer, that no matter what, whether it's a shtarach no, or even a lav shtarach no, edov b'chasum of zochelo, so the lien takes effect from Nisan, not when the loan was given in Tishrei. If you hold like Abaye that you're allowed to do that, it's not a problem because when the Edom signed on it, the lien really took effect. So then, if you're not worried about Chayshinon, Lepiron, Lekinunya, like Shmuel said, we're not Choshesh for that. So then, how do you understand our Mishnah according to Abaye if he holds like Shmuel? So the Gemara says, no, if you hold like Shmuel, Shmuel mokil masnisin kishein chayav moda. You must be talking about where the person, Shimon, who received the loan, is not molded. This was a valid document. He says, no, it's a forged document. He says, no, I paid it back. Oh, whatever the reason why, he says that this isn't a good document. So that must be what you're talking about, where the person who the document is about, the Shimon in my case, is not molded that this is, in fact, a valid document. Of course, says, if that's the case, Yehachi, ki ein behem achrayis nechosim, amai yasir. So then, if there is no achrayis nechosim, so then, why do we allow it to be given back? Okay, granted, you won't take from the lekuchos, the lo gave min mishubade, you're not going to go take from the lien properties because there's no achrayis written in the shtar, but why aren't we concerned? Mibnei chari migbe gave, but you're going to go take from Shimon. If you give this document back, so then Reuven's going to collect possibly a second time from Shimon. So why are we not concerned in that situation where there's no achrayis? We should be concerned. So Gemara says, no, Shmuel utameh. Shmuel goes in accord with his expressed view elsewhere. The Omer Shmuel, Shmuel already said, Omer Rav Meir, this is within Rav Meir's opinion, Shtar Chov, She'en Bo Achrayis Nechosim, if a Shtar Chov doesn't have Achrayis written into it, then guess what? Not only can you not collect from lien property, Enu Gove Lo Mi Mishubadi, but likewise, V'lo Mi Bnei Chari, you can't even collect from the Bnei Chari. So if this document didn't have Achrayis written into it, it's essentially null and void. It isn't a valid document. And therefore, no problem to give it back, because you can't use it to collect from lien property. That's sure, it doesn't have Achrayis in it, but you can't even use it to go and collect from the properties that Shimon has in Bnei Chari, that he has extant right now, that he has properties in his possession, because it's not a valid document. If a shtar doesn't have a chrayis, it is considered not to be a valid document. Mor says, so then, what are you returning? So since this document is useless, why did the Mishnah say to return it? What value does it have? You're returning him a piece of paper. Mor says, you're 100% correct. You're returning him a bottle cap. It's a piece of paper. And who is entitled to this piece of paper? It's worthless as a shtar, but it's worth a pruta as a piece of paper. Who gets that? Does Reuven the Malva get it? Or does Shimon the Lova get it? It's worthless as a document, but it has some value. A shava pruta as a bottle cap. You can go plug up your jug with this piece of paper. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. You give it back to the Malva. Nudmur says, Unadre lehu lova. Why not give it back to the lova? Lotra piece luchiso shalova. Why are you saying, okay, we'll give the people paper back as a bottle cap for the malve? Why not give it to the lova? So why says, because the lova said it's not his. Lova who? The lova is, and we turn to you, give me lomit beis. Lova is the one, the omar, lo hayu dvar meyolav. The lova says it's not a valid document. It never existed. So therefore, he's basically saying that document doesn't belong to me. That's not a real document. So we can give it back to the Malva, because the Malva can't use it to go collect, either from Mishubadim, certainly not because there's no Achrayis in it, but he can't even, according to Rav Meir, use it to collect from extend properties from what he has right now in his possession. So therefore, the Lover says it's definitely not mine. So if we have to give it back to somebody, we'll give the piece of paper back as a bottle cap to the Malva. Okay, that concludes our discussion right now of the machlokas between Abaye and Rav Asi. But now the Gemara is going to go back and discuss the Mishnah a little bit more in detail. And here I have a handout, and you can access this handout by clicking on the handout on the page on the YU Torah where it says there's a handout there. Just click on that and you'll be able to see the handout. I think the handout will make the learning of this daf much, much more easily because I hopefully have put it clearly down on paper exactly the different shittas that we're referring to back and forth. And since we're referring a lot back and forth, so this handout, which I made up well over 20 years ago, several cycles ago, three, four cycles ago, so hopefully this will, Be'ezus Hashem, be making the shir a little bit easier to follow. So again, you just click on the link on the page on YU Torah to download this handout. Okay, now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, we're going to have a machlokas over here between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan as to how to properly understand our Mishnah. So, there is a machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, but what does it go on? Does it go on the scenario that Shimon is Mode? Yes, I did take out that loan, that's a valid document that Reuven gave me for the $100, or is it talking about a case where Ain Chayiv Moda, where Shimon, who would be Chayiv based upon this document, is not Moda, that it's a valid document. So now let's go through this very carefully. And if you look at the sheet, you can follow along. I numbered the different parts of the Gemara, and I'll tell you what number we're up to so you can follow along on the sheet. So I'm Rabbi Elazar, Machlokis Bisha'ein Chayiv Moda. According to Rabbi Elazar, the only time that Rav Meir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah are arguing about is when Shimon, who we'll call the Moda, is not Moda, Ein Chayav Moda. He says, no, that is not a valid document. So Shimon is denying the validity of the document. And that's where Rav Meir and the Chum have their argument. The Rav Meir Savar, and this is point number one on the document that I handed out, the Rav Meir Savar, Rav Meir holds, Shtar She'ein Bo Achrayis Nechosim, a shtar that doesn't have Achrayis Nechosim in it. There's no lien on the property. Ein O Gove Lo Mi Mishubadi, as we had just brought down, Rav Meir's opinion is that if a shtar doesn't have achrayis nechosim written into it, it's not a valid shtar. And therefore, you not only cannot collect from lien, the property, but you can't even collect from extant property that Shimon has. So, lo gove mimishubadi, velo mibnei chori. That is Rav Meir's opinion. And therefore, if there's no ability to go collect from it, so then, as Rashi says, lav shtarahu, it is not considered a valid document, so then you can be chozer. No problem giving it back. As we said, you give it back as a bottle cap. You give it back to cover up the tzluchas. That is Rav Meir's opinion, according to Rabbi Elazar. However, Rabbanan disagree. Rabbanan sadre, mimishubad yehud logovi. Yeah, you're not allowed to go collect in this situation from lien property because there's no achrayis written down. However, they hold mibrechare migba govi. They hold that, in fact, you can collect from the properties that Shimon has extant. And that is the machlokis. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, the Rabbanan opinion, which I have listed here as point number two on the document, Rashi says, this is like a milva alpet dummy. And therefore, velo yachzir kivan denofal isra. We have to be concerned, since it was lost, that maybe this is not a real document. It had, in fact, been a forged document, a made-up document, and therefore we have to be concerned that Shimon says it's not a real document. Well, if you give it back to Reuven, he's going to collect from properties that are extant. Migba Gavi, he's going to go collect from Bnei Chori that he has, and therefore we don't give it back. And that is the machlokas, according to Rav Elazar, in our mission between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir says, since you can't collect from it, not even from extant properly, even from Bnei Chori, so therefore no harm in giving it back. The Malva, we use it as a bottle cap. Whereas the Rabbanan say, no, you can go and collect from Bnei Chori, and therefore it would hurt Shimon, and therefore you just can't go give it back to Reuven when Shimon denies that it's a valid document. However, Rav Meir and the Chachamim both agree, Avo kishechayov mode, when Shimon, the one who is going to admit that this document is a good document, admits it's a good document, and now he's chayev for what that document says, so then divrei kol yatzer, then everybody, Rav Meir, and certainly the Chachamim, would say in this situation that you can be maxerit. Why? Because lo chayshinon lepiron lekinunya. Because we're not concerned over here of the shenanigans that, in fact, that Shimon and Reuven have concocted a plot over here to go collect the second time from the lekuchos. Because We're not concerned that, in fact, Shimon paid back this loan once, and now he's concocted a plot with Reuven that they'll go collect it a second time, so we're not concerned about that. That is the way Rabbi Elazar understands our Mishnah. On the other hand now, Rabbi Yochanan understands it almost in an opposite way. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. The only machlokas in Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is machlokas kishechayev moda. They're only arguing about where in the scenario where Shimon says, yes, that is a valid shtar. However, in this situation, the Rav Meir Sovar, Rav Meir is of the opinion that shtar she'ein bo achrayis, and this can be seen in point number 4 in my document. So the Divrei HaKol that we just had a minute ago, that was point number 3, and now we're up to point number 4 in the document. So Rav Meir holds that a shtar she'ein bo achrayis nuchosim, a shtar that doesn't have achrayis written into it, so you can't collect from lien properties. But mimishubadi hu delo gavi avol mibnei charei nigba gavi. Rav Yochanan says, Rav Meir makes a distinction between leaned properties and bnei charei properties, whether you can collect from them with a shtar that doesn't have achrayis written into it. As opposed to before, he said we didn't make such a distinction. Rav Yochanan holds that Rav Meir does make a distinction. He says a document that has no achrayis written into it is in fact a valid document. Mimishubadi hu delo gavi. Okay, you can't collect from leaned properties because achrayis isn't written into it. However, avo mibnei charei, but from extant properties that Shimon has right now, migba gavi, you can in fact go collect from it. And therefore, you can be chozer in this situation because Shimon admits, he's the moda, he admits that this is a valid document. So therefore, he's not saying that it's an invalid document, and therefore you can give it back to Reuven because there's no harm done to the Lekuchos because it doesn't have Achrayis in it, and therefore the Lekuchos won't be hurt. And this person admits, Shimon admits that it's a valid document, so there's no problem in being chozer. Rabban and Sabri, no. Mimishubadi nami gave. Why? Because there is a concept of if something doesn't have achrayis written into it, it's a mistake. It's a tov sofer, and it actually does have achrayis, even though it doesn't mention anything about achrayis. And you can collect from lien properties even if it doesn't have achrayis written into it. Therefore, in this situation, the Rabbanu Sarve, Mimishubadi nami gave, you can even collect from leaned property in this situation. And therefore, since this is just a mistake by the scribe, a toho sofrim, so therefore you could collect not only from the extant properties, which Shimon is admitting, it's a valid shtar, but you can also collect from the lien properties and now hurt the lekuchos. And therefore, according to the Rabbanon, since achrayis is toho sofer, Rashi says, it's a mistake, and therefore you can collect from lien properties, the chayshino lepiron, we have to be concerned over here that in fact it was paid back, and therefore the lekuchos are going to get hurt, that we're going to collect the second time. Therefore, according to the chachamim, you can't be chozer, you don't give it back. That's point 5 on my handout. Now we go to point 6. But avo ke she'ein chayev moda, in a situation where Shimon is not moda that it's a valid document, so in that scenario, everybody agrees. Rav Meir and the Chachamim direk lo yachzer. You can't go over and give it back. Why? Because chayshin and lepiron. We are concerned that he's going to inappropriately pay for it because Shimon says it's not a valid document. So if you give it back to Reuven, he's going to possibly be able to go collect from this. And therefore, we don't give it back according to everybody because of this concern that maybe Reuven is going to collect inappropriately. So these are the two different ways to understand the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, we have a Braisa, Tanya Kavasi, the Rabbi Yochanan. And now we're up to, on my handout, point 7, 8, and 9. So this Braisa is going to go and support Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and it's going to be a Kasha on Rabbi Elazar's opinion. So, Tanya Kavasi, the Rabbi Yochanan, with this Braisa that we're about to bring down is supportive of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. However, Utiyufta, the Rabbi Elazar, Bechada, and it's going to disprove, it's going to be a problem, a tiyufta for Rabbi Elazar in one aspect, and utiyufta de Shmuel v'tarte, and it's actually going to be a problem for Shmuel on two different points, and we'll see this momentarily. Now, what's the Braisa? Matzah shtari chov, the Braisa says, if a person finds a shtar chov, that Reuven lent Shimon money, and Shimon has to pay back $100 to Reuven, and the document does have listed in it that there's a lien on the properties of Shimon if he doesn't pay back. So, even though both the Malva and the Lova, both Reuven, the Malva, and Shimon, the Lova, both agree that this is a valid document, this is point number 7. On my handout. So even though both of them, the Malva and the Lova, Reuven and Shimon, both agree that this is a valid document, nevertheless, the Braisa says, Lo Yachzer, Lo Lozeh, Velo Lozeh. both opinions state that you can't go give it back. Why is that? Why don't we allow you to give it back, even though both agree that it's a valid document? Because we are concerned, as you can see on my document, lo yachzir, lo lezev, lo lezeh, because chayshinon lipiron ukenunya, and this is divrei hakol, that everybody is concerned that maybe there's a shenanigan going on over here. Shimon Levi found a great way to go and steal money from Levi, who bought the property from Shimon. Because they'll say it never was paid back. It's a valid document. Everybody's agreeing it's a valid document. And if they all agree that it hasn't paid back, so then you can collect from Shimon. But Shimon has no property right now, so then go to the Lekuchos. And the Lekuchos is going to lose out. And Reuven and Shimon are going to split the money that they got from the Lekuchos. So therefore, the Brisa says you can't give it back in a situation like this because we're concerned. Chayshijon, the Piron, the Kinunya. Now, number 8 on my handout, Ein Bem Achrayis Nechosim. If it doesn't have Achrayis Nechosim, number 7.7, what we just said in the first part of the Brisa was Yesh Bem Achrayis. Here we're talking about if the document doesn't have Achrayis written into it. Ein Bem Achrayis Nechosim, but both of them are Modeh, that it is a valid document, and the Machrayis Nechosim, so Bisman Shahalove Modeh, if Shimon is Modeh, that it is in fact a valid document, so then Yachzir Lamalve, then you are allowed to go and return it to Reuven, to the Malva, because he admits that it's a valid document, it doesn't have Achrayis, so we're not concerned in this situation that you're going to go collect inappropriately from the Lekuchos, because it doesn't have Achrayis in it. And he's admitting, Shimon's admitting it's a valid document, so you give it back to Reuven, because all he can do is collect from Shimon. That's in a situation where Shimon is Moda, the Lova is Moda, that it is a valid document. However, ain't a Lova Moda, and this is point number 9 on my handout, if Shimon is not Moda, ain halove Moda, he doesn't agree that this is a valid document, he claims it's a forged document, so then lo yachzir, lo lezev, lo lezeh, then you don't give it back to either the Malva or the Lova. Divrei Rav Meir. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. Now, why? Shahayu Rav Meir Omer, because, and here we have number 10 on my handout, Shahayu Rav Meir Omer, Shtare Sheyesh Bahem Achrayis Nechosim. If a document has on it a lien, it has Achrayis written into it, then Gova Min Nechosim Mishubadim. You can go collect from Nechosim Mishubadim, obviously. Vishayim Bahem Achrayis Nechosim. If it doesn't have Achrayis Nechosim written into it, so according to this version, which is exactly like Rabbi Yochanan said, Gova Min Nechosim B'nei Chorim, you can still collect from Nechosim B'nei Chorim. Not like Rav Elazar said that you can't collect from either one. So this goes in accord with Rav Yochanan. The Gove Minechosim B'nei Chorim. Here's where the Brisa is in support of Rav Yochanan. So you can collect from the Chosim that are B'nei Chorim. And you see my handout, again in point 10, Rav Meir's opinion is that if there is Achrayis, you can be Gove even from the Chosim that are leaned, and therefore don't give it back. Lo Yachzir, because we're concerned, Chayshinon L'kinunya. But if there's no Achrayis, and you can collect only from the Bechari, who are not going to hurt the Lekuchos, no problem of Kinunya, and therefore you can go and give it back. However, the Chacham Omrim, the Chacham say, Echozeh ve'echozeh, Govah minichosim mishubadim. The Chacham say, whether Achrayis is written in it or not, you're allowed to go collect from nichosim mishubadim, because they hold that this is what we said, explained, is Achrayis' tos sofer. He forgot to write it in, so it's the sofer's problem, but the Achrayis is still there. And therefore, in this situation, you don't give it back because chayshinon l'kinunya. We are concerned about a kinunya. And this is on my handout, the last item, point number 11. So this brisa, as I've just explained it, is clearly in accord with Rav Yochanan's opinion. And tiyufta de Rabbi Elazar b'choda, and it's a problem with Rabbi Elazar in one aspect, because the Amal Rav Meir, according to Rav Meir, he says, shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechosim, a shtar that doesn't have achrayis written into it, is null and void. Ein gove min nechosim mishubadim, lo min nechosim b'nechorin. He says that you can't collect anything, not even from extant properties. And furthermore, the karma ben l'rabbein, ben l'rabbanon, as we point down in number 3 on my handout, that ben l'rabbanon, ben l'rabmeir, lo chayshinon l'kinunya. We're not concerned about this plot and the shenanigan between Reuven and Shimon. But in the Brisa, we said that we were. So the Gemara says, "Ubrisa k'tani." In the Brisa, it says, "Shtar shem achrayis nechosim." Shtar that doesn't have achrayis nechosim. So we had put down, "Mimishubade hu delo gave ha mibnei chare migba gave." So that again, that's point number 1, where the Brisa disagrees with the way Rabbi Elazar understood Rabbi Meir. Uktani bein l'Rabbi Meir, bein l'Rabbi Banun, chayshinin l'kinunya. And secondly, it says that we are concerned about a kinunya, whereas Rabbi Elazar said we're not concerned about a kinunya. So therefore, the Uktani, because the Brisa said, afal pi shishnei amodim, even in a situation where both of them are modeh, that's point number 7 on my handout. We had said, lo yasir, lo lezev, lo lezev, because chayshinon, almo, chayshinon l'kinunya, because we are concerned about kinunya. So we seem to have actually disproven Rabbi Elazar in two places in the Braisa, not one. And that's what the Gemara now says. Bo hani tartihu. We just disproved him twice. Number one, in that Rav Meir says you can collect from extant properties, even though there's no achrayis written into the shtar, it's not null and void, according to the Braisa. Rav Elazar says it's null and void, according to Rav Meir. And number two is that we had said that Rav Elazar says that lo chayshinon lepiron lekinunya, and the Braisa says we are choshesh, yesh chayshinon lepiron ulkinunya. So we seem to have disproved Rabbi Elazar twice, not only once. And we turn to Yudalad Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, yeah, chadahu, it actually is only one thing that we proved him wrong on, the chad tamu. Yes, it had two ramifications of it, but it's really the same thing that we proved him wrong on, and therefore we called it one thing. As Rashi says, tam echad, his kikul Rabbi Elazar, lomar eshteim. There was one thing over here that Rabbi Elazar, within his shitos, but that led to two practical differences, but it's really only one thing that he was proven wrong. Both of them go hand in hand. The Mishum Dekama Rabbi Elazar, as the Gemara continues, the Mishum Dekama Rabbi Elazar, Machlokas B'she'en Chayev Moda, he says that the only Machlokas in Rabbi Meir and the Chacham is when Ein Chayev Moda, when Shimon is not Moda, that it's a valid star, and therefore, Humatari Sachi. So that led to the whole Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan, as understood by Rabbi Elazar, and that's why we have two bottom line differences between the Brayis and Rabbi Elazar, but it's all based upon Ein Chayev Moda, so it's one point. That's what the word says, Chad Tamhu. Now, we get to the second part that we had brought down, that there were two things that the Brayis goes against Shmuel, and Tiyufta de Shmuel Betarti. Where is that? Chadok Rabbi Elazar. Number one, it's the exact same thing as Rabbi Elazar. Shmuel held within the Shita like Rabbi Elazar, so therefore, that is the same thing that we just said. The Hamoki Masdisa Mishen Chayev Moda, because Shmuel also holds that we're dealing the Machlokis over here in a situation of Ein Chayev Moda. The Hamoki Masdisa Mishen Chayev Moda, and that same exact question that we had from the Brayis on Rabbi Elazar, therefore also goes on Shmuel. That's number one. And number two, the Chada, the second point that goes against Shmuel, it's a totally different point. Matzor Shtar HaKnoa B'Shuk. If you find a Shtar HaKnoa in the marketplace, if you find it in the Shuk, Yachzir LeBalim. The Brayis says, we're allowed to go give it back, and we're not concerned that it has been paid back and that there's going to be a knunya. Now, this is a tiyufta because the ktani hocha, because we heard learned in this brisa, afal pi shishnei amodim. Point number 7. Even though both of them are moda, the malva's moda is a legitimate star, and the lova says it's a legitimate star. Even though both of them moda, lo yachzir, lo lezev, lo lezeh. Why? Alma chayshinu lepiron, because we're concerned that these two guys, Reuven and Shimon, have gotten together in cahoots, and they're going to go collect from the Lekuchos, from Levi, inappropriately. So what do you see from the Braisa? That we are Chayshin and Lepiron. And certainly, the Koshikin Hocha, the Lo Moda Lova, and certainly in a situation where the Lova, Shimon, is not Moda, that's a valid star, we certainly have to be concerned the Chayshin and Lepiron. So this is the second point against Shmuel. So this is why the Braisa supports Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, but is a problem for both Rabbi Elazar and for Shmuel. No, what would Shmuel answer to this? Shmuel would say, no, my tamayu de Rabbanon. What's the svara behind the Rabbanon who say that even if there's no achrayis written into the shtar, that you can go and collect from nechosim mishubadim, even from lien properties, even though there's no achrayis? Because Shmuel, as I pointed out before, holds savrei achrayis tos soferhu. If achrayis is not written into a shtar, it's there automatically. Even though the sofer didn't write it in, it was the sofer's mistake. But achrayis is always part of a loan. Nobody would ever lend money, as we'll see in a moment, without having achrayis on the properties of the person he's lending money to. He doesn't want to lose his money that he's lending to Shimon. He wants to be able to get it back. And if Shimon has properties, he says, okay, if I can't get cash back from you, I'll at least be able to collect it from your properties. And if you sell your properties, I have a prior lien on them. So whether the sofer writes it in or not, it's a mistake by the sofer if he doesn't write it in. Shmuel holds, sabri achrayis tos soferu. It's a mistake on the part of the sofer. And you can collect even from lien properties. Now, Amli Rava Bar Iti, Lirav Idi Barabin. So, on this point, that Shmuel seems to hold that Achrayis is a toh sofer if it's not written in. So then, Amalei Rava Bar Iti says to Rav Iti Bar Oven, Umi Amar Shmuel Hochi. Does Shmuel really hold it? This is toh soferim? For Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said that if there is a situation where Reuven sold something to Shimon, and a property, and Shimon then improved the property, and the property went up in price, and then the property is taken away from Shimon, so this concept of shvach, that any improvements that Shimon put into the property, he can go and get back from Reuven when the property is taken from him. And Shvar, he can go collect from Reuven from the idiots, from the best of Reuven's properties, and Shibud. And that there is a lien on Reuven's properties in this situation. Again, Reuven sold the property to Shimon, and then Reuven's Balei Chov come and say they want their money back from Reuven. But Reuven says, I don't have any money. Well, I have these properties, but I sold it to Shimon. So the person who is owed money by Reuven is allowed to go to a Beis Din and get back the property from Shimon because it was a lien property. Now Shimon wants to get back the money that he put into the property. That's the shvach, the extra $100 that he put into the property and putting in fertilizer and fencing it and whatever. Shvar, he wants to be able to collect from Reuven's best properties. He doesn't want to go and collect from just stamp properties that Reuven has. And Shibud, he wants to be able to go and collect from the lien properties. So, sorry, lien malech. So, Shmuel said, if you want to collect Shvach, Shvar, and Shibud, you better put it into the document. If you don't, then it's not there automatically. So, therefore, you don't say that Achrayis is toh sofer hu, and lemo man diyar mahar, lo amar ha. So, we seem to have a problem in that Shmuel says, in one place, that it's not a toh sofer, and the other place says it's a toh sofer. Gemara says, no, the two statements of Shmuel aren't contradictory. Why not? Because lo kasha, kan bishtar hava, when Shmuel says that Achrayis is toh sofrim, that's when you're dealing with a loan. Nobody's lending money. As I mentioned before, if Reuven lends Shimon money, he's not giving him money with the expectation that he won't get something back. He's lending him money in order to go get this back. He's demanding automatically that there be a lien on it. And if you didn't write that lien into the property, it's a mistake of the sofer. So in that situation of a loan, Achrayis is toh sofrim. The lo yohav inish zuze bichdi, because nobody's giving over money in a loan without some sort of a guarantee that you'll get it back. However, kan b'makachu memker, where Shmuel says if you didn't write in the shvach, the shvar, and the shibud, then you don't automatically get it back. It's not toh sofrim. It's only valid to use the document if it's written in it to get the shvach, shvar, and shibud back. That's when you're dealing with a sale. In a sale, the ovid inish dizovin ara liyome, because the person says, I'm not just getting nothing for this, I'm getting usage of this property. No, I use it for a day, I use it for a week, I use it for a month, a year. No, if it's eventually taken away from me, I got the benefit of having this property in my possession for a while. So therefore, if you didn't write in the document the lien, the shvach, the shvar, and the shibud, guess what? It's not there. Because here the person isn't just giving something for free like a loan. Here he's getting usage of the property. And that is the benefit that he got for the money that he paid. And I'll show you that this is right from a Maisa Shohaya. Ki hai davua bar ihi. There once was such a Maisa Shohaya with avua bar ihi. Hizobin alisa me'achse. He bought the upper part of the building, the attic, the top floor from his sister. She owned the whole building and she sold him the upper floor. Along comes also Baal Chov, a Baal Chov of Avua Bar'ihi's sister came along and had a lien on her properties and took the upper property from her. Also Baal Chov in Torfamine took the upper floor that Avua Bar'ihi had bought from his sister. So also Lekami de Marshul, Avua Bar'ihi goes to Marshul to go and collect because he has achrayis, he thinks, on this property. However, when he goes to Shmuel, Shmuel tells him, Amalei, kosuloch achrayis, did your document that you bought this property, the upper story from your sister, did it write down that you have achrayis on it? So Amalei, lo. So Avud Bari says, no, it doesn't. So Shmuel tells him, sorry, buddy, Amalei, imkein, zil l'shlama, go in peace, because you're not able to collect, because it's not considered toh sofrim in this situation. Amalei, why not? But you, Shmuel, have said that achrayis, if it's not written in, is a toast of the sofer, and you get it back. So here the Gemara explains, like we just said. Amalei, so Shmuel says, to Avua Bar'i, Hani mili bishtari hava. This is true only that this achrayis is considered toho sofer in regards to a loan, because de lo yov inish zuze bichti, because a person doesn't go give money without expecting to get it back. However, in the case of mekach u'memkar, abu b'shtar mekach u'memkar, then we don't say lo, we don't say that achrayis is toho sofer, because after all, the ovid inish nesofen aru liyome, because a person might be happy getting this for as long as he can. No, he knows it might be taken away from him someday, but no, right now he's benefiting from having the property. So therefore, we don't say that achrayis is toho sofer in the case of mekach u'memkar. And that's how you would reconcile the differences between seemingly Shmuel's two statements that disagree with each other. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.